This is Stacey Eldridge. Welcome to Captivated. This world vies for our attention in a thousand different ways. But the most important thing, the preeminent thing, the essential thing, is to give our attention to Jesus. Welcome, friends. Stacey here. I am so honored that you've chosen to spend the next half hour or so with me today. It's my prayer that you will be deeply encouraged, and I believe you will be. I'm going to start with a few scriptures. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Psalm 16:9, therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. So again, in Romans 15:13, because of what Jesus has done for us, for you, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, dear ones, I pray the peace of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, peace himself, to embrace you, fill you, saturate you, flood you. You, that you in this moment, if you have been holding your breath, whether you in a place of wondering or maybe wandering, that you can begin to breathe deeply again. Breathe. Hear me. You are the object of Christ's affection, and he will not give you up. He wants relationship with you, intimacy, meaning to live in close proximity, and he wants it with the real, true, authentic you. He will never turn his face away. We don't have to put on a happy face with Jesus, pretend we are feeling we are not. We get to be honest. That is, in fact, part of the beauty of his invitation to come to him. And to talk more about that today with us is a passionate follower of Jesus. Her devoted life has borne so much life in so many, mine included and probably yours, Jenny Allen. Welcome, Jenny.
Oh, Stacey, it is such an honor to be here. I just want to say I have so much respect for you and John and the ministry that I've watched you lead for so many years. So many people that I love have come to conferences and been changed through both of your work. And I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful to be here.
Ah, thank you so much for saying that. Yes.
Well, and I was going to say, I've been changed too, I should say. But mine started way long ago before your husband even had sold 15 books. I found Sacred Romance at a bookstore before I ever heard about it. I just found it on the shelf and I read it all night through the night. One night I could not put it down. And yeah, y'all have been shaping my life since before anyone else knew you. I think I truly am like one of the very first people that ever found John Eldridge.
I love that. That explains, I mean, our heartbeat is the same. Your ministry, your call, we're on the same mission with Jesus, and I love that. But there's a few of you that don't know who Jenny is, and so I'm going to read your official sort of changed by me bio, okay?
Love it.
So let me tell you about this woman. Jenny Allen is the New York Times bestselling author of 6 books. She has a podcast called Made for This, and she is the founder and visionary of the IF Gathering, which is a ministry with the audacious aim of discipling a generation of women. Over 10 years, IF has reached more than 1 million women in 179 countries through in-person and online events and resources designed to empower women to reclaim discipleship as God's means to change the world. Driven by a deep love for God and an unyielding belief in the potential of this generation, Jenny's mission is to disciple that generation of Jesus followers to live what they believe. Through her writing and teaching, Jenny seeks to convey a simple yet profound truth: God sees you, loves you and invites you to play your part in his unfolding story. She has witnessed firsthand the miraculous work of Jesus when people fully surrender to him. She's a passionate leader who travels and teaches with humility, love, and power. She's deeply relational and relatable, as you'll find today. With a deeply rooted faith, she's as happy doing this, teaching in her living room or through the platform God has entrusted to her. Spend any time listening to her, and you can tell. She lives in Dallas, Texas, with her husband, Zach, and three of her four children, as one of her daughters recently married. We're going to be talking today about Jenny's important new New York Times bestseller that, friends, you are going to love. It's called Untangle Your Emotions, Naming What You Feel and Knowing What to Do About It. Jenny, as I was preparing to talk with you, I actually came to holy tears a few times, just overwhelmed because of your role in my life. So with all that said, again, welcome.
Oh, it's so good to be here. Thank you. That is such a generous bio. I don't know if I've ever heard that one. Wow. It's the Stacey elevated one.
Actually, I shortened it. So
yeah. You know. Oh gosh. Well, who knows who sent that out or what they're saying about me, but that's very kind. Yeah.
And
thank you.
Before we dive into your book, Jenny, I would just love our listeners to know even a little bit more about your faith journey.
Yeah.
How? When did you fall in love with Jesus?
Yeah. And it was, I fell madly in love with Jesus at 17 years old.
Oh.
I was a product of a Christian home with parents that love God and raised me to love God, but I didn't understand that we could have a relationship with God. And I also was a pretty good little girl, and I didn't get in trouble a lot, so I didn't see my own personal need for Jesus until I was 17. And I was at a summer camp, and they reenacted the crucifixion, and
wow.
I cried like I've never cried before when I realized I was part of what had put him there. And it still brings a lump to my throat just because I understood for the first time my need for a savior.
Mm.
And so I really credit that moment. Although I prayed a sinner's prayer, I vividly remember when I prayed it, all I was praying was, I just don't want to go to hell. I just don't want to go to hell. So I'll
right.
do whatever.
Yes.
But there was no relationship. And there was, I don't remember there being the fruit in my life from the Spirit at that point. And so it was a radical transformation. I went home, and while I didn't have to clean up a lot of my behavior, my heart was completely remade. And I remember, you know, immediately I didn't have a lot of role models of female leaders or teachers. And so immediately I had to talk about God. So I thought, well, you just do it to everybody. So I did it to everybody, and I annoyed everyone so much that eventually I thought to myself, I should just pick some girls that want to hear about God and put them in a room. And I don't even remember, Beth Moore was not on the scene. There was no model for women teaching Bible studies in my mind. But I took them up to a room. I asked about 10 of them to come, and they all came, and they were 2 years younger than me. At our church, I took him up to a room and I taught him the book of Revelation as a 17-year-old. I did that. Mm-hmm. Yep. As a brand new believer.
Dive in.
And it's just never stopped. Now I won't touch. I've been to seminary for 3 years and I will still not teach the book of Revelation. Go Jen Wilkin and all of you that do, but I won't. So yeah, I was so in love with him, and I had to talk about him.
Oh.
And so that, you know, every semester after that, and I say semester because I was largely teaching college girls or high school girls, I always had my living room full of people I was discipling. And I ended up at University of Arkansas and was discipled by Crew and the ministry there. And it just changed my life. It gave me a vision for how I would want to live and how I still live, in just that life on life discipleship changes everything. So while we all believe in the, you know, power and mediums of podcasting and books and all of that, I still hope and pray that all of my work is being used in the context of small groups and church, local churches, because I just have seen that's the greatest way for people to grow and to follow Jesus.
Isn't it just in the relationship? And then following the model of Jesus, you know, he had his intimate 12 and then rocked the world, changed the world. That's so beautiful, the fire that was lit in your heart, and then you couldn't help but share it.
Yeah.
So these days, I get so encouraged hearing about others people's faith, and I hear your love of the word that just was immediate. You couldn't wait to talk about him. What are some of the things that you love about him the most?
You know, for so long, I thought God to be a disappointed father. And when I realized that he was, to use your word, captivated by me, it was what I'd been craving as a child growing up from my dad. And our relationship has healed a lot. But I was craving, I mean, he and I are actually great. In fact, I don't know that I have a bigger fan than my father. So that's a very redeemed, beautiful thing. But I was craving that kind of acceptance and love. And when I understood at 17 the gospel, it really just floored me that I was safe, that I was with, that he had affection for me, that he delighted over me. Those were things that I just couldn't believe. And I felt and I experienced as a college student at the University of Arkansas, as I would pray, he would answer the prayers. And as I would, you know, stay in my bed late at night while all my friends were out partying, he would be present with me and I would feel his, you know, power and presence in my life. He would lead me. He would show me where to go and what to do. I had such an intimate relationship with him right from the beginning, and it really has not changed. I look back at that little girl and she and God, and I'm like, I still relate to God in the exact same way. I think I'm his favorite. I think he'll provide what I need. I think he'll tell me what to do. I think he thinks I'm the greatest ever, you know, and I know that sounds funny to people, but I really just feel delighted in by him. And I know he's with me. I know he's not going to abandon me. It makes me do risky, brave things because I'm like, why not? God's for me. Let's go. And I really think, Stacey, I don't think I'm especially gifted to do what I do and to that all of this has happened, that I have such a big platform. I think people look at my relationship with Jesus and they want it. I think
that's,
and I don't know that anyone would articulate that, but I literally think that is my ministry. Is I walk with God so close and we're such good friends. And everybody looks at it and goes, gosh, I want to see God that way. Maybe if I listen to her, if I read her, like I'll feel like that about God. And so that has been, you know, and that has made me just go, if I just keep doing that, right?
Yes. Oh, that's it.
No, if me and God are good, then the rest is, you know, whatever it's supposed to be, whatever it's supposed to be. And sometimes it's a living room and sometimes it's a stadium and sometimes it's, you know, it's writing and sometimes it's being with my kids. And I feel really at ease with him. And I feel at ease with myself and with my life because of him.
Yay. I am celebrating. Fireworks are going off in my heart and around. Because yes, to say that and to be able to say, this is available to everyone.
Everyone.
Jesus wants this with you. And I was praying for you this morning, Jenny. And you are his favorite.
And all of you too. All of you. Yeah.
He was just saying.
Well, and I do that with my own kids, right? Like, I'm like, every one of them, if you were to ask them and look in their eyes, all four of my kids, dead serious. If you said, who is my favorite? Every one of them would say me. Everyone. Oh. All four.
Yes.
And I think that's how it's supposed to be because they are all my favorite.
Yes.
Well, when I'm with one, you know, they are my favorite. And when I'm with another one, they are my favorite. And then they all fight a little bit. So they can't imagine that the other three would be my favorite. So they literally think, of course, I'm her favorite.
I love that.
So, yes, all of you are his favorite too.
I love that. Yes. Okay, well, I want to shift and talk about your grace-filled book, Untangle Your Emotions, which just came out in February. So first, what moved you to writing the book?
Well, I've had a complicated relationship with emotions, negative emotions, I should say. I like to be happy, like all people probably. And I don't want to feel sad and I don't want to feel angry. And I didn't really see a lot of purpose in feeling those things because why not just press through and get to the other side and, you know, just trust God and it will work out, you know, in heaven, even if it has to make it that far. And that was kind of my mentality. And I joined a small group that had a wonderful counselor as a part of it. You probably have heard of Dr. Kurt Thompson was leading our little group of leaders. And I knew that he would expect me to come in feeling my feelings. And so I did on the first day. I showed up to perform the task of feeling my feelings, and I did it pretty well. And at the end, my friends began to speak to me in a way that I would typically speak to other people, which was, I think you should blank. Oops. I don't think God is that way. Mm. I think you are wrong. And I had just poured out my guts. I had just cried, and I had gnashed my teeth in front of them, and it was a very big move for me.
Yes.
To be that vulnerable. And I recoiled just immediately. I was like, I regretted it. I wished I hadn't shared it. I just wanted to be done. I wanted to be out of there, and I didn't want it to be over. Well, Kurt Thompson interrupted and said, hey, I want all of you to, instead of telling Jenny what you think about what she just shared, I want you to tell her what you felt about what she just shared.
Mm.
And I'm not kidding, Stacey, in about 5 minutes, my heart healed.
Wow.
They began to say things like, I am so sad that you felt so alone in this season.
Mm.
I am so proud of you that you haven't quit and that you still love God and you're still pursuing his work and his truth, even though you felt angry at him and isolated. I am so sorry we just hurt you. I'm so sorry that we just made you feel separate and isolated. And my heart went from, I don't even want to be in this room and I don't want to do this anymore, to this is one of the greatest like feelings I've ever felt.
Mm.
So it had to happen to me for me to believe it.
Yes.
That something about people mourning with those who mourn, in its very essence, as scripture knew and now brain scientists know, heals you.
Mm.
And not being alone in your pain is the goal.
Mm.
And it really does. Feeling our feelings with other people is the greatest gift. And it's why there's verses. I understand verses now, like blessed are those who mourn, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, which is translated oftentimes happy are those who mourn. And it's such a confusing, you know, oxymoron, but I get it now. And so it was a radical shift. I went from being a fixer to being a feeler. And it has transformed my relationships. It has transformed my relationship with God. It has made me a way more compassionate parent and friend. And so and so much more compassionate with myself.
Yes.
And so that was the beginning of it really changing for me. And that was a few years ago, where I saw maybe there's a purpose to crying and crying with people over pain.
Yes. And the word intimacy really stands out when a person is vulnerable to share what they're, it's really an honor to be on that sacred territory of somebody being honest about what is really going on, not the face that we present.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to tell you just a little story that I think happens a lot, which kind of happened to you, and I want to get your counsel to us in it. This was many years ago, and I had littles at home. It was a season of being completely hidden, and yes, being lonely. And I had two friends. And one of them, I had made plans to go out for a tea with, and it was a month of planning, and I was really excited about it. And she was picking me up, and when it came time, she didn't show. And I waited, and she didn't show.
No.
And then I called her husband, and she was grocery shopping. So when she got home, I had like have her call me when she gets home. And I told her that I felt really missed. I felt really hurt. And as someone who's not experienced or comfortable with emotions, her response was, "Don't feel that." So in relationship, not just in a small group, how would you counsel us to handle those kinds of things?
So let me just say this first. We all have to realize that if we are not comfortable in ourselves with sadness and fear and anger, then we'll never be comfortable with anyone else's. And so we've got to grow in our ability to feel these feelings and see a value for them. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways I approached the book and the work was just to show how comfortable God was with his feelings throughout.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Right? So we got God the Father from the very beginning. He's delighted over his creation, and then he's disappointed and sad at their rebellion. And then you see anger come in pretty quickly at their continued rebellion.
Yes.
And so you see a God who feels all the feelings, and he feels it throughout scripture. And then praise God for the chosen, because for the first time ever, Jesus was portrayed with emotion, right? And
yes.
And we all are in love with that show because of his compassion and his tears. And you'll see him this season. I got to see an early release of him weeping with Mary, which is one of my favorite stories in the Bible now, because I understand how much that meant. Because he knew he was going to heal Lazarus. He knew.
Yes.
He had already said verses above that he was going to heal Lazarus. So there was no question. He could have solved the problem, but he didn't solve the problem. He stopped and cried with his friend.
Oh.
And there's 99% of what is going on in a conversation like you just mentioned, in a moment like Jesus found himself where he could and would heal Lazarus, is not the circumstance. It's what we're feeling about our circumstance.
Mm.
We never talk about that, or we rarely talk about it.
Yeah.
And we really don't think about it a lot. And and I think one reason we don't think about it a lot is we haven't given ourselves permission to be sad. And so we've judged all of our feelings. And that's okay. There's a part of us, and I'm compassionate to it, that had to learn. You can't throw a temper tantrum when you don't get what you want. That's just not appropriate. You know, we had to learn these things. And so messages were given to us over the years as growing up, formative years, about our emotions and how we shouldn't feel angry and we shouldn't feel sad. And basically what your friend was saying to you is you shouldn't be upset, which, you know, it's cute, except it doesn't work. It can work to our behavior, but it can't work to our heart.
Right.
And so, you know, it's most obvious when you say stop feeling sad. Well,
I'm sorry.
Great. Like, okay, I'd love to, you know?
Yeah.
So I think what I realized, I'd written a book called Get Out of Your Head, and Get Out of Your Head was so clean. I mean, it was replace cynicism with gratitude and, you know, all these simple replacements of just thought patterns. And it's true. I stand by that book, every word of it still, because it's true. There are times that our thoughts are just out of control and we don't take dominion and we don't take authority over our thought lives. So yes, you enter into your thought lives with authority, the authority God has given you to take every thought captive, to think on what is lovely and true and beautiful. You do that work because that's a place of dominion and authority. But we've treated emotions like our thoughts, and we've treated sadness like something we can think our way out of or have enough faith to quit feeling that way. And yet sadness is a gift from God.
Yes.
And because we haven't seen it as gifts, we've demonized it and judged it. And the church has done that. Our upbringings have done that. We get that everywhere. The world has done that. We've done it to ourselves. So it's come from everywhere. So for your friend, what I would say is the beginning of growth in that, and again, that was many years ago, so praise God, she probably won't listen or know it's her.
Yep.
But what I would say to her, if it was recent and today, is I would turn it back on her and I would ask her, why does my sadness make you uncomfortable?
Like, what is it? Good one.
What are you feeling right now? Because I love you and I'm here to have this conversation, but you can't tell me not to be sad. You know, I mean, that's the direct way of saying it. So, you know, I've learned that we're all to have grace for her too, because I am her. I am her a lot of the time. I'm wanting to fix the problem and I'm wanting the negative feeling to go away for my kids. And it just isn't, life doesn't work this way. And God didn't mean for emotions to work this way.
Just take that sentence, friends. God didn't mean emotions to work this way. I became to Christ, and then I was embedded in such a fabulous church. It preached the word, it held fast. But one of its weaknesses was what I called the parade of the perfect. The people that were held up, were completely out of reach. And then we would sing the song, I'm so happy in Jesus every day. and it just, you know, squelch those emotions. Don't feel it. And yet to be human, to be authentic, to be honest with God, it's all all there, not to name them bad. They're your emotions.
Yeah. And they are, I think they are good because of what they cause to happen in our lives if we
let
them.
Yes, yes.
I think they are good because they bring the deepest relationships you have. They bring the depth of, the reason I'm so close to Jesus is not just because he loved me, but it's also because every time I'm in my most desperate place, he is the one that understands. He is the one that is able, Hebrews says, to empathize with my weakness. So there's a God who's present with me in pain. And so it is good because emotion can be this rope that like ties you together with the Lord and with other people.
Yes.
In its best form, you know?
Yes. So I was really involved with Crew in college too. And I am so grateful. Hugest impact on my life. And we, back in the day, so I'm 64, so we're going back. We would share our faith by using a tract. And you may be familiar with this little tract that had a train on it as well. And it went, faith was the engine, fact, feeling was the caboose. Now, mm-hmm. in your book, you offer a different train, which I love. It says, first, will, emotions, thought. And I was wondering if you could unpack that a little bit.
Yeah. So it was an adaptation of something else I'd seen. And when I think about the will, the reason I landed there was because at the end of the day, God has given us volition.
Yes.
And it is Holy Spirit fueled. So if there's the Holy Spirit has a role, it's the coal, right? Like he is the fuel. But at the end of the day, you decide to berate your husband. You decide. Like at the end of the day, you can, it says, scripture's clear that in your anger, do not sin. So there's a sense that you can have anger, but don't sin from it. So I wanted will to be the engine because while if I put faith or God there, it's like, well, how do I access that? And I'm like, oh, let me tell you.
He's yes.
told you. He's given you, my mother-in-law says it this way, a yes and no button. And I still use this with my 15-year-old that's forming a frontal lobe, right? So we all have a volition to where that God has given us and empowered us to make choices that are negative or positive. And so when I say, I do not believe emotion is sin, the reason I am saying that is the same reason that I do not believe money is sin, that mm-hmm. I do not believe sex is sin.
Mm-hmm.
It's that those are gifts from God that he's given us to navigate this world. And so can money become sin? Yeah. Can anger become sinful? Oh yeah. So when I say emotion is not sin, I'm saying that this is a good thing that God's built for us to navigate a very broken world, to connect us to each other and to connect us to him. And what's cool about studying the science is the science would say, yes, emotion does that. That is a fruit of emotion. When you are crying with a friend, it connects you more deeply with them.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, the reason will is at the engine is because there's a world that also, while there is a world that has believed emotions are evil and bad and dangerous, there is also a world that has believed they're everything and believed that they are the engine. Mm. And I'm going to give them a little credit here because Corinthians and Paul say, if Christ is not raised from the dead, eat and drink because tomorrow we die.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't believe in God, you should, happiness will be your engine. There's not another engine, right? It's like my self-gratification is the engine. And it only makes sense that that largely is the way the world lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to be clear, the emotions are not the engine, but the emotions are a really important part of the train.
Yes.
And they are telling us information. And if we dismiss them, we're going to miss that information.
Mm.
And some of you, you've missed it to where you feel distant from your kids and you don't know why.
Mm.
And so I would just say waking that part up in you and building your emotional intelligence, it allows you to connect in a deeper way with your kids and with people you love. And so I think it's a bigger than a caboose. I don't know. I did put it, I think I put it second and then thoughts were at the end. I think emotions are usually the first thing you experience. You have a sensation before you have a thought or before you notice a thought.
Yes.
So I do think there's a little bit of an emotional tangle and movement that is happening from the moment you wake up till the time you go to bed, even if you consider yourself not a very emotional person, you just don't express it in the same way, but you're sensing things throughout your day.
Yes. This is so good, friends. I know that you're hearing, run out, get this book. It's just full of truth and honesty and whimsy too. I'm going to shift one more time, but before I do, is there anything else that you would like to say about it?
Well, I just believe for everyone listening, we can be so hard on ourselves for this subject. We can consider ourselves overly emotional and beat ourselves up that we cry too easily. We can also beat ourselves up that we aren't emotionally connected with our kids and how have I failed them? We can beat ourselves up that we aren't good at feeling empathy for other people and we don't know why. And I would just say God is a God of compassion for all of it. And that there's a really big part of the story that isn't your fault. It's just what you learned. And I just had a conversation with my daughter about this because she was so emotional. She was born emotionally intelligent. She just came out of the womb. And I was a fixer and I kept trying to fix her. And I feel like I hurt her a lot because of that. And as an adult, she and I have the closest relationship. And I was able to just continue to just be sorry that I wasn't present for her in her pain. And we are so close now. And she has forgiven me. And in some ways, that restoration is more beautiful than if we had just, if I had been a perfect parent. So I would just say the biggest message I want everyone to hear, whatever you're feeling about this subject, is just so much compassion. The compassion of God, that this is a bit of a tangled mess for all of us right now, but it is so worth sorting out.
Yes, this is so important. This is so grace-filled and good. Thank you. Okay, Jenny, I want to ask you, what are you looking forward to?
Well, we are working on something that is just crazy. I think you know about it. It may have just set me up for it, but I just announced, so we have a ministry called If Gathering, and it has largely been for women around the world, and we have live streamed to 179 countries and brought together women in their churches, women in dorm rooms and college campuses, women in homes, and you know, thousands of live events are happening at the same time. It's just been such a special movement of God and movement of women saying, yes, I want to do this. And this past few weeks, we just announced at our last gathering that in lieu of If Gathering next year, that we are going to gather the entire global church for the first time in history with the help of every possible ministry on earth. I hope including y'all's too.
Because definitely.
I know. I've already shared it with John. It's going to take us all. It's going to take every denomination. It's going to take every person in their town, in their neighborhood, in their village, wherever they are, because what we're going to do is use that same model of gathering locally, but tuning in together from March 1st, 2025. And it's called Gather 25. And it's gather25.com. If you want to say I'm in, that would be amazing. Because what it's going to be the largest group project of the church ever. We are on a mission to gather the 2.5 billion people that say that they believe in Jesus to be commissioned, to pray together, to worship, worship in the way every continent worships and to see that, to hear the stories of what God is doing on earth in every continent right now, which I get to hear. I have a front row seat and y'all are not going to believe it. There's a church in Peru we're working with that bought a bullfighting ring that has that seats 11,000 people and they fill it four times every Sunday.
Oh my goodness.
You didn't know that, right?
I didn't know that. No.
And that's happening in the world, and we're going to tell those stories. We're going to tell how God is moving on planet Earth in 2025, and we just want the entire church to be a part of it, whatever denomination you find yourself, whether you are someone who has barely gone to church, like this is for you. Everyone that says, I follow Jesus, it is for us, and so it is an ambitious project. Never before in history has it been possible to gather the global church. The only reason it's possible now is because of artificial intelligence that will be able to live translate into every major language. And that technology is barely ready today, but by 2025, it'll be solid.
Yes.
So it's just a miracle that we're going to do it. And I'm so excited about it. And it's so fun. We're having so much fun.
So friends listening, you can see I'm tearing up again. This is so beautiful. I'm so excited about this. Ah, okay. We're going to put all these notes in the bio, how you can reach Jenny, how you can sign up for this. I mean, everything will be in there. So get your information there. I'm not going to do it here because there's a lot and I want you to dive in. So as you know, and you hear from people all around the world, there's about 250 countries listening in to you today, and they're in all different places in their life, right? So would you close our time, please, by praying for them?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, I just thank you for, Lord, for every single person listening. They are known by you. They are seen by you. You have built a beautiful story in life, God, for them. And where it is difficult, I pray that you would be such a compassionate, tender Father, and I know you will be for them today in a way that feels tangible to them and unmistakable. Father, I pray for the person listening that feels like they can't quit crying, that there has been so much pain and so much devastation in their life that they really can't imagine healing and being okay again. And I just pray, God, that you would be the great physician to their soul, the great counselor.
Yes, God.
That you would just bring hope and healing to their heart. And God, in the midst of the sadness, would they draw near to you? I just pray for the person who is afraid, that feels anxiety and it feels paralyzing and it feels like they can't get out of bed and this is their effort. Like listening to this podcast today was the effort, the only effort that they could make. And I pray, God, that you would just celebrate with them that small effort, God, that there would be a sense of joy that they've come nearer to you today because you draw near to all of us. And I thank you for that. And I pray that no one would feel alone. And if someone does, I pray, God, that they would find a local church, that they would find a small group, that they would find a body of believers to care for them. Because, God, we cannot do this alone.
Mm-hmm.
And so, God, we also pray for all the countries that
yes,
are listening.
God.
I pray for every nation. I pray that that your spirit would be moving on every nation.
Yes, God.
And God, for the small part we're going to play in that with Gather 25, I pray that there would be catalytic movement of your spirit in the next decade.
Yes,
in
Lord.
In ways that we cannot imagine. That there would be the ends of the earth reached, the 5.5 billion that do not know you, God, that they would come to saving faith. We pray for the salvation of billions, God. We pray for the eyes to be opened, that every knee would fall, that our hearts would want you above all else. And for each leader and person listening that goes, gosh, I want to make a difference and I don't know how, God, I pray that you would show them. You would show them what to know and what to do. You are such a good Father and you can do that today. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yes, God. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having this time with us. Bless you.
So good. Thank you for having me.
And bless you, friends. I know that you have been. You can just press rewind and listen to this again. And may today be a day where you dive deeper into the love of God that knows no bounds. Until next time.
Hi, everyone. This is Stacey Burton, the producer of the Captivated podcast. If you've been a regular listener, you've heard the encouraging teachings offered and the incredible conversation Stacey has had with her guests. So wherever you listen, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. May you be filled with the goodness of his love today, and we look forward to having you join us next time. Thank you.